patience for yourself.
Welcome to Streams in the Desert Live, an interactive prophetic talk show with pastor, evangelist, and prophetic teacher, Dana Bohansky, senior pastor of Streams in the Desert Ministries and House Church, where we look at the headlines of our daily news in light of Bible prophecy and give you, the listener, an opportunity to call in to ask questions and share information regarding the signs of the times. This ministry is dedicated to the preaching and teaching of the unadulterated word of the one and only true and living God under the power and anointing of God's Holy Ghost. Streams in the Desert Live is an expansion of Streams in the Desert Ministries. Now, here's your host, Pastor Dana.
Shalom and blessings in the name of the Lord Jesus. This is Pastor Dana, and I once again would like to thank you for joining me today, April 4th, 2018, for the Streams in the Desert Live Internet Radio Broadcast, coming to you live from the beautiful and breathtaking studios of StarWorldwideNetworks.com, where we look at the headlines of our daily news in light of Bible prophecy. Today's topic title is Truth versus Deception and Error. But before we get started, let us pray. Father God, we humbly come before your throne. Lord God, we bow down spiritually speaking. We thank you for all that you've done, all that you're doing, and all that you've yet to do. We ask that everything that be said and done here today be in the power and anointing of your Holy Spirit, that the words would not fall to the ground as they would be your words, Lord God. For you are the one who writes the scripts and takes all the care in making sure that your word goes out exactly the way that you want. I am your servant, and I am thanking you today once again for the opportunity to serve you. Lord Jesus, thank you for taking my place upon the cross of Calvary, and Holy Spirit, have your way in this day. In Jesus' precious and holy name we pray, amen and amen. Well, folks, greetings to you all once again from wherever you are in the world as you join me, your host, Pastor Dana, today for another compelling episode of Streams in the Desert Live Internet Radio Broadcast. As we open the show for today, we will be diving right into the world of God versus Satan, or shall we simply say truth versus deception and error. Now, what this concerns is something that took place over the past Resurrection Day weekend. But just before we get started, my friends, I would like to as well point out the fact that the world that we now find ourselves living in here at 11:59 and split seconds, just before the imminent, but at the same time, unexpected to the world at large, return of the Lord and only Savior of all mankind, who is Jesus Christ, in what is known as the catching away or rapture of those who belong to him, Jesus Christ, that is, at his appearing, are unfortunately operating at maximum velocity in deception and error. For there is one thing that is lacking in the lives of most of the people who live in this present world, and that is the discernment of God, which can only be obtained by way of a personal relationship in good standing or right standing with his one and only begotten Son, who is none other than Jesus Christ, and then by seeking his Father who is in heaven for the indwelling power, working, and anointing of his, God's, that is, Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking with tongues, as stated in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, and Acts chapter 19, verses 1 through 6, among other places you can find that as well, my friends. It is also known as being baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire that John the Baptist said would take place when he who was to come after him, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, arrived on the scene. My friends, I have many, many times before stated that according to the very word of God, that he, as in God, has never and will never call anyone to be a mouthpiece for him that he has not first filled or anointed, if you will, with his Holy Spirit. Therefore, when people listen and flock to those who have not the Spirit of the one and only true and living God in operation in their lives, not to mention their so-called ministry, you should be warned that as the Lord God himself has stated in his word, quote, I have not sent them. When that is the case, my friends, you are being led by way of the spirit of Satan right into the lake of fire at the end of all things. And for this reason, I am by way of the Lord God's Holy Spirit being directed to share with you in our first piece of the day the difference between truth and deception and error. As we begin by looking into a piece written by Mr. Jeffrey Greider of Now the End Begins, dated April 1st, 2018, titled Congregation Shocked as Jacksonville, Florida Mega Pastor Claims Face-to-Face Visit with Jesus Christ, of which Mr. Greider gives this intro to when he begins by stating Celebration Church in Jacksonville, Florida has about 12,000 people in its weekly attendance for their services. He then goes on to say they are an excellent example of the Laodicean church that Jesus said would be in evidence in the last days before the rapture. Rich, increased with goods, and preaching ear-tickling sermons for their Bible-illiterate congregation. But today, says Mr. Greider, the pastor, Stovall Weems, kicked it up a notch, or two, or three. How did he do it? Asks Mr. Greider, who then goes on to say, my friends, today Pastor Stovall Weems claimed to, wait for it, my friends, have seen Jesus face to face and heard his voice audibly with his ears. Something that Mr. Greider states is, my friends, wait for it, is an absolute impossibility in the church age, according to the Bible. Mr. Greider then goes on to quote a scripture, I am so sorry, though, to say, out of context, of which was, no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. John chapter 1, verse 18. The reason that I said that the scripture is out of context is because, in reality, it explains itself perfectly and was not a proper depiction of the point that Mr. Greider was trying to make. Why? Because this scripture says that no man has seen God at any time. And that would be a true statement. For God is a spirit. And the word of God says that he is invisible. But as the word of God also states, many people have seen Jesus, both long before and at different times after his resurrection, and is touched upon in the next part of the scripture, where it is stated that, quote, the only begotten Son, who can only be Jesus Christ, my friends, which is in the bosom of the Father, of whom is none other than the Lord Jesus, of course, And the word ends by saying, he has declared him. And can be seen, my friends, in places like John chapter 14, verses 7, 8, 9, and 10, where Jesus is speaking to Thomas first and then Philip, when he states, quote, if you had known me, ye should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Then in verse 8 through 10, it says, Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us, meaning it would satisfy us. Jesus said unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou, show us the Father? Jesus then ends by saying to Philip, believest thou not that I am in the Father, and that the Father is in me? The words which I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me. He does the work in regards to the invisible Holy Spirit, who is in reality the God of heaven, or God the Father, my friends. Moving forward, Mr. Grider, in this case, continues his rant. As he states this, it's something rather very interesting. He says, as fate would have it, I just happened to be sitting in the congregation of Celebration Church this Easter Sunday morning at the 11:30 a.m. service. There were thousands of people in attendance, so many people that they delayed the start of the service until around 12:15 p.m. to allow all the people to come in. I started filming the video you see below from the moment the pastor said the following words, quote, I have a message to preach to you about the resurrection. It was an awesome message, the pastor said. Then he dropped the other shoe, says Mr. Grider. But instead of preaching about the resurrection, I want to tell you about my meeting with the resurrection. From there, Mr. Grider says, it was off to the end-time Laodicean races as Pastor Weems regaled his congregation with the very tall tale of his personal meeting with Jesus. As I sat there this morning, said Mr. Grider, filming the pastor's message, conflicting thoughts went through my head. First, I wondered, was he trying to intentionally deceive his audience, claiming to have met Jesus personally, when, get this, my friends, he says, the Bible declares that such a thing is not possible in the church age. Really? At this point, Mr. Grider once again uses scripture to sway the storyline to the in the direction, my friends, in which he wants to take his readers. When he quotes 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, of which states, for we walk by faith, not by sight, of which is, of course, absolutely the truth, my friends. But there again, it does not fit the point of which he is trying to make. Because as I just shared, the Word of God states, quote, no man has seen God at any time. This is a true statement, but at the same time, the Word of God does give an account that many people have seen Jesus both long before and at different times after his resurrection. From where the rest of the scripture, for when the rest of the scripture is read, it states, speaking of Jesus, my friends, quote, the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him, and is found in John, there again, 1:18. Next, Mr. Greider, in his feeble attempt to prove his incorrect point, he, in an apparent huff, states, "How about the testimony of the Apostle Paul, saying that Christians do not see God face to face?" "Now," says Mr. Greider, "is that good enough for you?" He then, for the third time, uses a scripture inappropriately to prove his point, of which is, by all biblical accounts, wrong. Found in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 12, of which states, quote, "For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall be known even as also I am known." The just shared scripture, my friends, concerns the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the fact that if one possesses them but does not operate in the love of God, they therefore amount to nothing. It is also a depiction of the fact that those who do operate in part in the power, working, and anointing of God's Holy Spirit in the here and now, one day soon, in the eternal kingdom of God, will walk in the fullness of God's Spirit. As Mr. Greider continues hammering away at his diluted non-biblical point, his next statement, my friends, yes, the Apostle Paul saw the risen Lord Jesus face to face after his resurrection, and the sight, says Mr. Greider, was so intense it burned his eyes and he went blind. But that aside, he says, Paul was handpicked by Jesus to lead the New Testament church, and that meeting is recorded in the pages of the Bible. If Stovall Weems truly met Jesus Christ face to face, then that should be in the Bible as well. Mr. Greider then recites the scripture in which Jesus said to Paul when he meets him face to face, and is thus, quote, "But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send you, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified," which means separated, "by faith that is in me," said Jesus, of which is found in Acts chapter 26, verses 16 through 18. My friends, Mr. Greider's statement is totally out of line and does not line up with the very word of God for the most part, for he makes it sound like Paul was blind for the rest of his life and that Jesus burned his eyes out, when in reality, the Lord only allowed him to be struck with blindness for a period of 3 days, and then his eyesight was restored when he was filled with God's Holy Spirit. Of which I might add, when people do not believe that being filled with the indwelling power, working, and anointing of God's Holy Spirit is for today and was only for the disciples, they can't understand the reason behind things like the Lord Jesus allowing Paul to experience 3 days of blindness. Even though it is stated very clearly in the scripture that Mr. Greider used and was done for a spiritual purpose of which can only be discerned by way of the working of God's Holy Spirit in one's life. For the scripture plainly states that the reason for this blindness was to help Paul understand the spiritual weightiness of the call that the Lord Jesus Christ was about to place upon his life. The scripture once again reads that the Lord Jesus Christ was calling Paul to open their eyes, that is the eyes of the Gentiles, unto Jesus, unto whom Jesus said, "Now I send thee," and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inherit among them an inheritance among them which are sanctified or separated by faith that is in me, says Jesus. This would as well be the major reason, my friends, why that which Mr. Greider is presenting here today is not balanced. For it is obvious that he is not operating in the power, working, and anointing of God's Holy Spirit, of which is able to give us the mindset of the Lord Jesus Christ, as God's Word tells us that we should operate in as becoming children of God. Meanwhile, as Mr. Greider continues his account of the mega pastor's explanation of his meeting the Lord Jesus Christ face to face the Friday before Resurrection Day 2018, he says, Pastor Weems continued, quote, "I want to talk to you about the experience I had Friday night where I met and saw our risen Savior. Now listen," said the pastor, "I understand the consequences that come with making a statement like that, okay?" At this point, Mr. Greider states, "My mind had trouble processing what was being heard, but yet here it was in all its Laodicean glory. The pastor of a huge megachurch was in front of his congregation telling them that he had seen the risen Lord Jesus Christ face to face on Good Friday evening." You know those are his words and not mine, friends. "And the people, though hesitant at first," he says, "began lapping it up." Mr. Greider goes on to say, "Tears came into my eyes as the end time spectacle continued." Mr. Greider then ushers in another scripture to drive his point, of which was, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust," "shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth." Oh, really? "And shall be turned unto fables." 2 Timothy 4:3-4. My friends, I hate to say this, but dear Mr. Greider is at this point the one who appears to be operating in the fashion of which he has used the scripture to outline. As we move forward, Pastor Weems continues to lay out his face-to-face meeting with the Lord Jesus Christ when he shares, quote, "Nothing like this has ever happened to me. I think the longevity and integrity of our ministry speaks for itself. When this happened Friday night, I was really a wreck. I was sobbing. I could not sleep. This went on into Saturday. I realized today that there was no way I could preach a message about the resurrection when I was with the resurrection Friday night." Here, Mr. Greider interjects his next reach for fact-finding when he uses scripture found in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3, where Paul, by way of the power working and anointing of God's Holy Spirit, urges the Thessalonians to be sure to, quote, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, in regards to the Antichrist, my friends, who is the son of perdition. Mr. Greider states, the great falling away, the apostasy of the professing Christian church, is operating in full speed, he says, as well. And as we head towards the 70th anniversary of the regathered Israel in May, he then continues in his certainty by stating, Pastor Weems' meeting with Jesus Christ is proof positive of that. Mr. Greider as well states, I only hope and pray that there will be at least some Bible believers within his congregation who will openly rebuke his false statement. He then says, but sadly, I don't think that will happen. Then, astonishingly, Mr. Greider goes on to say, Pastor Stovall, if you are reading this, you did not meet Jesus face to face, according to Bible doctrine for the church age. He says, this is not possible. Hopefully you will come to your senses, he says, and recant the false teaching of your current position, because if you don't, then you will have to be ready to accept the cult status label that will be rightfully placed on your church. The next step, he says, for someone who claims a personal meeting with Jesus is being anointed by Jesus to be the next Jim Jones or David Koresh, says Mr. Greider. My friends, the last part of that just shared was said by Mr. Greider to mock those who are filled with and operate in the power, working, and anointing of God's Holy Spirit. As he continues his rant, his next statement is, so tell me, Stovall, do you not believe the Bible or do you not know the Bible? It's one or the other. Peter says you didn't see Jesus either. Is that why you won't use the King James Bible or teach Bible doctrine in your church to keep the people ignorant of scripture and jacked up on feelings and emotions? Now, my friends, I would at this point like for you to make a mental note of which is that Mr. Greider lives in Florida. He lives in Florida, and this man's church is in Florida. Now, while I am not a fan or user of the New King James Version of the Bible, the scriptures that the pastor was putting up on his screen in the church was just that, the New King James Version of the Bible. So, just for the record, it wasn't as if he was using the NIV or the Catholic or the LDS or the JW Bible, of which any of the just mentioned would have warranted an outright counterfeit version of the Bible. My friends, I personally don't approve of any of the just mentioned, including the New King James. I use the King James only. But yet, he has at this point just become severely railing. He then goes on to use another scripture to prove his Peter point, of which he just mentioned, and is found in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, of which states, quote, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now you see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and fullness and the fullness of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul. My friends, this is speaking about what will be completed by the bridegroom, who is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ, when we meet him in the air at the soon coming rapture of the bride of Christ. After that, Mr. Greider goes on to say, Jesus Christ tells us in Revelation 3 that the last state of the Christian church is apostasy. Well, my friends, this is only true for the counterfeit so-called Christian churches of this present world who have a form of godliness, but as the Word of God states, are the same who deny the power thereof. Which, my friends, is in reference to the indwelling power, working, and anointing of the one and only true and living God's Holy Spirit, of which I would like to point out is alive and well in the blood-bought, Bible-believing, born-again, Holy Ghost-filled and led church of the Lord and only Savior, who is none other than Jesus Christ, and are those who make up his body. Now, picking up where Mr. Greider left off, where he was quoting a scripture from Revelation 3, of which was that, quote, the last state of the Christian church is apostasy, he then goes on to state, and that's exactly what we are seeing right now, and it's exactly what I saw this morning. Mr. Greider then gets his last digs in by using Revelation chapter 3, verses 14 through 19, where Jesus, speaking to John the Revelator, commands, quote, and unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable in the spirit, my friends, and poor in the spirit of God, my friends, and blind up to the things of the spirit of God, my friends, and naked, meaning without the spirit of God, my friends. I counsel thee, Jesus said, to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich in the Lord and in the spirit of the Lord, my friends, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, so that your sins don't show, my friends. It shows that you've given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, and you walk upright before the Lord God. And that the shame, Jesus said, of thy nakedness, which is your sins, my friends, do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, Jesus said, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Whew. And on that thought-provoking note, my friends, I'll be right back after the break to bring to light a few more things that are totally amazing concerning our subject of the day, which is truth versus deception and error.
There is a way that leads to life. The few that find it never die. Past mountain peaks,
graced white with snow. The way grows brighter as it goes. There is a road inside of you, inside of me. There is one too. No stumbling pilgrim in the dark. The road to Zion's in your heart. The road to Zion's. The road, its waters living as they flow. In liquid voice, the water calls. On thirsty knees, a pilgrim falls. There is a road inside of you, inside of me. There is one too. No stumbling like a mist across the road. But be encouraged by the sight. Where there's a shadow, there's a light. There is a road inside of you, inside of me. There is one too. No stumbling Zion's in your heart. The road to Zion's in your heart. Sometimes it's good to look back down. We've come so far, we've gained such ground. But joy is not in where we've been. Joy is who's waiting at the end. There is a road inside of you, inside of me. There is one too. No stumbling pilgrim in the dark. The road to Zion's in.
And is where you will find the blood-stained footsteps of the Lord and only Savior of all mankind, who walked it long ago just for you. Now, my friends, let us take a look at just who Jesus encountered after his resurrection, in short, by that which is written in Luke chapter 24, of which states, "Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, and be crucified, and the third day rise again? And they remembered his words and returned from the sepulcher and told all of these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Right here, my friends, it tells you that women that walked with the Lord Jesus Christ during his time here on the earth were the first to find that he was no longer in the tomb, and as the story goes, are the first that see him after his resurrection, not the disciples. They come later. Then arose Peter and ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen cloths laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. And behold, two of them went the same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs, and they talked together of all of these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleophas, answering, said unto him, art thou the only stranger in Jerusalem that has not known the things which are come to pass therein these days? And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and the word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our leaders delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And besides all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished which were there early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre, and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he, Jesus, said unto them, O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things, and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scripture the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh into the village whither they went. And he made as though, listen up, my friends, he would have gone further. Meaning, if they hadn't asked him to come and stay, which was customary because it was moving towards evening and you're to ask strangers to come and lodge and eat with you, Jesus would have just kept walking. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is towards evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave to them, and their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened us the scriptures. And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, "The Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon." And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in the breaking of the bread. And as they spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, "Peace be unto you." But they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, "Why are ye troubled? And why do these thoughts arise in your heart? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit has not flesh and blood, flesh and bone, as ye see me have." And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, "Have ye here any meat?" And they gave him a piece of a broiled fish and of a honeycomb. And he took it, and he did eat before them. And he said unto them, "These are the words which I spoke unto you while I was still with you, that all these things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me." Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, "Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father." The promise of the Father, my friends, is the indwelling power, working, and anointing of God's Holy Spirit. Jesus said, "I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." And he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. So, my friends, Jesus was seen by the woman, by the women who followed him, as well as his disciples. He was also seen by about 500 of the brethren at once, as recorded in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 6, where Paul states, quote, "After that, he was seen about 500, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some have fallen asleep," meaning they have passed on. Let us, my friends, not forget that Stephen as well saw Jesus standing in heaven when he was stoned, as recorded in Acts chapter 7, verses 55 through 60, of which, my friends, I find to be some of the saddest scripture ever recorded, of which state, "But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, 'Behold, I see heaven opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witness laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God, saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep, meaning he died. Speaking of the Apostle Paul, who was once called Saul, he was the one who sought the stoning of the Christians. He's the one who they brought the clothes of Stephen to and the other Christians that they had killed, because it was great joy unto him to do that thing in killing the Christians, those who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. But as I said, speaking of the Apostle Paul, he as well saw Jesus in Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 16, of which state, and Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound into Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near to Damascus, and suddenly there shone around about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were open, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus, and he was there 3 days without sight, and neither did eat or drink. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street, which is called Straight, and inquire of the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth and has seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hands on him, that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man, how much evil he has done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my sake and for my name's sake. Now, my friends, with the wonderful accounts of Jesus being beheld after his resurrection, let us not forget the time that he was seen in the Old Testament, which is many times But one that stands out in my mind is when he was seen by Nebuchadnezzar, King Nebuchadnezzar, as recorded in Daniel chapter 3, verses 24 and 25, where it is said, "Then Nebuchadnezzar, king, was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did we not cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loosed walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like unto the Son of Man." My friends, this is before Jesus was ever even born. My friends, we need to go now and examine what Mr. Greider did today very quickly, because our time is just about up. And the problem with what Mr. Greider did here today and why the Lord called him out on it is because Mr. Greider did not give his readers the complete scope of what the pastor said about his meeting with the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, in return, none of us out here can make an informed decision as to whether or not the pastor's account of his meeting with the Lord Jesus Christ was biblical or not. Mr. Greider only shared about 9 minutes of a video, as he stated, that was shot by himself, of which never picked up on what the pastor had to say about his encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ, leaving us, his audience, to wonder, was it a vision? Or did he say that Jesus appeared to him in bodily form? By Mr. Greider only telling his side of the story, we have no idea if the pastor was on the level or not, which in return makes Mr. Greider suspect and not the pastor. As I could find nothing in the news about this happening, except for one article of which appeared to be no more than a reprint of what Mr. Greider had published, of which I find very strange, my friends, considering that Celebration Church is a 12,000-person megachurch. And if something had been said amiss in what the pastor had shared, most certainly it would have been picked up by one who is a reliable biblical authority, and the error would have been uncovered and the pastor admonished correctly. Think about this for just a moment, my friends. Once again, taking into consideration that Celebration Church is a non-denominational church, of which appears to lean towards Baptist beliefs, of which in reality do not follow, as we have seen here today, the whole counsel of God, as prescribed by God in His Word, found both in the Old and New Testament, nor do they believe that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. There again, as seen in the Word of God, not the Word of man. My friends, for if they did, then there would have been no need for this man to fabricate a story such as I have had to share with you all here today. My friends, Jesus is coming soon. It is time to be ready, watching, waiting, praying for his imminent return in the rapture. For only those who have a personal relationship with him in good or right standing at his appearing will be going with him in the rapture. And my friends, I tell you this time and time again, if you knew to be ready when the rapture happens, or you take your last breath, and you don't have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, you will forever be doomed to the lake of fire. So today is the day of salvation. Our time is up. And I just want to once again urge you to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your only Savior. My friends, ask the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins today, for tomorrow may be too late. And with that said, it's a wrap. May the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Shalom and blessings until we meet again.
I believe that we are living in the days John wrote about. The end times are upon us, and of that there is no doubt. Get your mind out of the world. Take your Bible off the shelf. Read the book of Revelations for yourself.
Join Streams in the Desert Live each Wednesday at 4 p.m. on Star Worldwide Networks, where your host, Pastor Dana, will examine the headlines of our daily news in light of Bible prophecy. Streams in the Desert Live thanks you for listening, for your phone calls, emails, and as always, your generous love offerings in support of this internet radio broadcast. You may also visit or email Streams in the Desert Ministries, home of Streams in the Desert Live, by way of the website or Facebook page, which can be easily found on the StarWorldwideNetworks.com Streams in the Desert landing page. Until next week, Streams in the Desert Live bids you all much love in Jesus, and that the peace of the Lord Jesus be unto you all now and always. And remember, if you're not serving Jesus now, what makes you think you'll be doing it later in heaven?